On the Sunday mornings when I'm preaching, we've been looking at a series on the fruit of the Spirit, focusing on Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so before we go to our readings for today, just another reminder to remember that this list of the fruit of the Spirit isn't suddenly now just a new set of rules to follow. You know, just try harder at love and joy and so on. Instead, this list is a list of fruit that will gradually and inevitably grow when you love Jesus. If a tree is alive, there will be fruit. If you are alive in Jesus, forgiven and free, you will change. You should, you can, you will, over time, become more like the Jesus you love. So it's basically a series on what real Christians should look like. Today we're going to focus on the fourth part of the fruit of the Spirit, patience. And we have three short readings. The first from Exodus chapter 34, and then we're going to read from 1 Timothy chapter 1, and then we're going to read from Colossians chapter 3. So just giving you a heads up, just three short readings, and then we will look at these words together. The Lord said to Moses, this is the Exodus 34 reading, "Chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready in the morning, and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may graze in front of the mountain." So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him, and he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshipped. Lord, he said, if I have found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin and take us as your inheritance. And then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. Turn with me, if you can, or read it up on the screen. 1 Timothy and chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 12 to 17. 1 Timothy, it's in the New Testament, chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. This is Paul writing to Timothy. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And turn with me to our final reading in Colossians and chapter 3, again verses 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Turn with me to the passage that we read together. In particular, we're going to focus on 1 Timothy and chapter 1. You can keep that one open in front of you. But seeing as this is a theme, we might go from verse to verse, bouncing around a little. Well, it's been called one of the greatest comeback songs of all time. After a decade since they last released a single, in 2006, Take That came back with the song Patience. It's a banger. It was top of the charts of the UK for weeks and weeks. It won Record of the Year at the Brit Awards. But the song itself is simply about a man begging for patience from someone who's frustrated with him. And every single one of us, no matter who you are, old, young, male, female, every single one of us can sympathize with both sides of that song. We've all been frustrated with someone or something. We've all been impatient and annoyed. And we've all wanted someone to show us patience. And so is there a particular area of your life that even as I introduce the topic of patience, is there a particular area of your life that you struggle to demonstrate patience in? Is there a particular person whom you find particularly difficult to tolerate at times? So how does your impatience manifest itself? Is it anger? Is it annoyance? Is it sarcasm? Is it judgmental comments? Is it tears and emotion? Is it discontentment in general? How does your impatience manifest itself? We're all impatient at some point, in some way, with someone or something. But as we think then about developing patience in our own characters, we always start by thinking about the character of God himself. And that's the first point this morning. God patiently bears with us. Some people don't equate the idea of God in the Old Testament as patience. They may be characterize him as angry or full of wrath. But we read together in Exodus 34 those famous words when God identified and described himself to Moses. This is what he said. The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger abounding in love and faithfulness. That slow to anger is a good place to start when it comes to expressing what the Bible means by patience. And yes, there are some spectacular examples of God's judgment against sin. But his judgment was never hasty, never uncontrolled, and never impatient. With the judgment brought upon the earth at the flood, that was after a long time. There was Sodom and Gomorrah, and that was after a long time. There was the judgment on the tribes of Canaan in the conquest, and that was after 400 years of things like child sacrifice. Even with the Israelites themselves in the Old Testament, letting down God, betraying God, rejecting and rebelling against God time and time again. Yes, there were times of anger from God. But that needs to be seen in the light of the long story of God's patience over many generations and many centuries. Often, God's judgment only came after many years of warning and appeals through the prophets. Patience has a lot to do with how much you are able to bear or carry. When God is being patient, he is carrying the heavy load of human sin. When God is being patient, in fact, when God forgives, it is only because he chooses to carry our sins himself, to bear the weight of sin and the cost of our sin on his own shoulders. And that's precisely what Jesus did for us on the cross. Those famous words of Isaiah 53, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Now, we can be sinfully impatient people. We live in an impatient world. I'm old enough to remember playing Championship Manager, not Football Manager, and loading that on an old computer, and between pressing the space bar to press to go into the next page and waiting for the next page to load, you could go get a snack, you could go to the bathroom, you could get a cup of tea, you could have your dinner. It took that long to load these old games. But now, we're getting so much more impatient. That website on your phone takes slightly longer to load. Oh, you get so irritated. You honk your horns at slow drivers. How many of you do that? How many of you feel road rage? We get annoyed at that old lady counting the pennies at the till. Come on, contactless. There is a scandalous lack of patience in our lives. There's also a scandalous lack of patience in our churches. But in your life, there's this impatience within the family. If you're married, you know what it's like to be impatient. If you have children, you know what it's like to feel impatient. There's also impatience towards church leaders who make decisions that we don't like or even understand. There's impatience with church members who aren't growing or attending or listening to godly wisdom, just doing whatever they feel like. There's impatience that we feel when we share the gospel with someone or read the Bible with someone, and they seem to be almost getting it, and they seem to come along for a little spell and yeah. And then at the last second, they turn away. That's them done. They want nothing more to do with it. They ignore it. We are impatient people. And we react in a whole bunch of ways. We've all been on the end of impatience. And we've all inflicted our impatience upon someone else. Whether we felt they deserved it because they're the one that sparked it, or impatience just builds and builds and builds and snaps. How much did it cost God to bear with our sins? It cost the cross of Jesus. How much did it cost God to patiently bear with your and mine impatience? The death of Jesus. When Paul tells us that the Spirit of God will produce the fruit of patience in our lives, he is reminding us that the God of the Bible is the one who bore our sin, who carried it himself in the person of Jesus, taking upon his own shoulders his righteous anger towards all sin. That is the true cost of God's patience with us. But that's the strength of the character of God. He is strong because he is patient with us, bearing with us in all of our sad sinfulness and messiness. Even those of us who are honestly sometimes such poor examples of Christians. He bears with us. Those of us, and I mean us, who backslide, whether once or again and again, almost every day, backsliding. He bears with us. He's patient with us. He puts up with us. He loves us. That's the strength of his character. What causes us to snap? What causes us to be impatient? But look how patient he is with you. He's patient even though it cost Jesus the cross. We sometimes play down the severity of impatience as a sin. It's not that big a deal. But for God to be patient with us, he is always aware of the severity of that impatience. The severity of what it meant for him to be patient with us. It cost the cross. And because of that, he is patient. Because Jesus bears our sin instead of us. And so in 1 Timothy 1, Paul shows us what Jesus is like with us. He says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength. I was shown mercy in that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Imagine how irritating Saul of Tarsus would have been, must have been, could have been to Jesus. If it was any of us, we would think, get out of my face, shut up. Get away from me, you fool. What are you doing? But such as the immense patience of Jesus towards someone like Saul. Such is the immense patience Jesus shows you and me. So why don't you ask him today, Lord Jesus, you have been patient, bearing with me. Will you bear my sins? Will you pay the price and set me free? Forgive me for my sins and all my impatiences. Be patient with me. Forgive me. Pay the price for me. Because, as Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He can save you. And Paul thanks Jesus at the beginning of that section. He says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength. His patience towards me has given me strength. And that's where we can begin to change. His patience will make us more patient. God's patience, God patiently bears with us. And God's patience, secondly, will bear fruit in our lives. Maybe when you were a kid, you heard the phrase, patience is a virtue. And our word virtue comes from the Latin word, I haven't a clue how to pronounce it. Virtus? Virtus? Oh, looking at Ian, I'm so sorry. Oh, he's so disappointed in me. Virtus? Oh, who knows? V-I-R-T-U-S. That's where our word virtue comes from, which is probably better described as strength. Maybe that's a better way to think about that phrase. Patience is a strength. It's not a weakness to be patient with someone. It's not a drawing back into yourself, being quiet. It's a strength of character. Patience is a strength. Patience is not managing your life in such a way that you are protected from difficult people and difficult circumstances. That's protectionism. It's not godly patience. Nor is patience a type of stoicism, that this idea of a stiff upper lip. Because when you're agitated, you might see it most in kids, when they're agitated, you see the upper lip start to quiver. Instead, you learn how to hold it in and control yourself and, in a sense, to develop a Victorian indifference to whatever is going on. And you just control that stiff upper lip. That's not patience. In its very nature, the strength of patience requires adverse circumstances or annoying people in order for it to develop in our lives. It's possible by nature to have a kind of pleasant and quiet spirit. That's not godly patience either. That's a pleasant and a quiet spirit. Some of you are quiet, pleasant people. Doesn't mean that you're patient. We sometimes take that shortcut into thinking that somebody who's quiet and pleasant is therefore patient. Quiet people can manifest impatience just as easily as others. Resentment can fester. Cynicism can linger. Pride can create distance and a lack of care towards others. Being quiet is not the epitome of patience. Godly patience is the strength of God's grace and power that enables you to bear with tough situations and people. Patience is the strength to endure whatever opposition and suffering comes our way, to persevere without retaliation or revenge. Patience is the strength to put up with the weaknesses or the foibles of others, to bear with others without getting quickly irritated and angry. Patience in the Bible literally means, in many of its uses, long-tempered. I'm pretty sure I've met more short-tempered people than I have long-tempered people. The Bible also uses the words long-suffering or forbearance, to bear with something. And as we saw, slow to anger. To put it simply, patience needs something or someone to be patient about. Some people might say, you know, I'm blessed with patience. No, you've just been blessed with a lack of irritating circumstances. Some people might say, you know, I was much more patient before I had kids. No, it just means that here is this new set of challenges that has showed up a pride and a lack of patience that was already there. That is why. This is why God sends difficulties into our lives. In the Bible, difficulties and trials and obstacles and frustrations and even difficult people are seen as instruments of God's blessing in the life of the Christian believer. Because otherwise, unless there are those stresses in our lives, we're not going to grow. We're not going to develop this strength of patience. Patience doesn't just develop overnight. Difficult circumstances are the gymnasium of spiritual strength. That's all over the Bible. Why does God allow suffering? Well, one of the reasons is to grow you. We can find this in what the Lord Jesus says as he teaches his disciples near the end. In John 15, Jesus gives the imagery of the vine and the branches. And he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He also says, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. It's a lovely picture if you love gardening. It's not so lovely a picture if you're the branch being pruned. A gardener knows that in order to produce long-term fruit and quality of fruit, he needs to engage in this pruning. And pruning always hurts. And so when our instinct, whenever there is a situation in our lives or a person in our lives, a set of circumstances that is causing us to go, Lord, this hurts. I don't like this situation. I don't like this person. Ugh. What is God saying to you? My child, I know it hurts. But it hurts in order that you may grow and bear fruit and better fruit. In a congregation this size, we will have people who have gone through the most excruciating pruning. And you look and you ask, or you might be that person asking yourself, how can they bear one more thing? I've got someone in my mind, even. With the life that they've had, the things that they've had to go through, and the things that they're currently going through. How could they bear one more thing? And yet the amazing thing, as they bear more things, that you sense that there's a quality being worked in them. The quality of patience, of long-suffering, of long-tempered. Because they've learned to say, Lord, this hurts, but I know you are working in my life for your glory and for my blessing. So prune on as necessary. Lord, make me more like Jesus. And give me your strength to be strong in patience with this situation or this person. That fruit of patience is such a sweet fruit. When you see it, it is such a great strength. That when you meet such a Christian, you feel like you're not fit to be in their presence. There is no quick answer to how we become patient. How does a Christian become patient? A Christian becomes patient as the Lord prunes them. Because it takes time. Those of you who feel like you are impatient people, or those of you who know that impatient person, chances are they won't change overnight. If you've been married to someone, if you're a brother or sister to someone, and you have that close relationship, watching someone change, you know it happens over time. In that next chapter, John 16, Jesus says to his disciples, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. And one of the things that the Lord is doing that is producing in us a patience is making us wait for Jesus' teaching. We want God to tell us everything about our lives and about our future and about our situation right now. But his way is different. I could know everything that is going to happen in my life. The chances are I would still be the most arrogant and proud person. Knowledge without experience doesn't produce character. It just enlarges the head. And at the end of the day, heaven isn't going to be filled with big heads. But God doesn't tell us everything always. As God works in our lives, he produces patience that waits for further illumination, further understanding of how his word applies to my life and yours. Many people say that they've learned more about God's word in times of difficulty and pressure than they ever did in times of ease and pleasure. So how about it? Do you have godly patience? You might think, oh, if only more people were like me, I'd be patient with them. Maybe you're the type of person who says, oh, things need to change around here, by which you mean things need to change around me. We do need so much patience to put up with all the people God has brought together in life, in your workplace, in our churches, in families, in marriages. Anyone married knows the long irritation of someone who snores or makes certain noises or jokes, or they have certain habits, or they leave the bathroom sink untidy. Remember the patience they need to put up with you in return. But for those of us who have experienced and who have known and tasted the patience of Jesus with us, patience, the fruit of patience, is produced in our lives when we are dealing with difficult circumstances or difficult people or both. This is not an accident. This is part of God's pruning providence. He means to produce something in you. He means to grow in you patience. It's not the only reason why he allows certain things to happen. And it's not the reason for everything in the world, but God means to grow in you patience with the sweet fruit of waiting on him and trusting in him and his timing, rather than wanting everything fixed now, the way you like it, right away. Everything now, everything our way, is the opposite of waiting on the Lord. And bearing fruit with patience. So we learn to wait on God. By that I mean we learn to pray. We learn to look at His promises. We learn to forgive one another because God has forgiven us, as we read in Colossians 3. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So practically, let's say today, let's say over these next weeks, if you are in a situation needing patience, you feel that flicker of irritation, take a moment and breathe. And actively remember how patient God is with you. Actively remember how God forgave you for greater, deeper, infinite sins. Sins that you committed against the infinite, glorious, almighty God. He forgave you for them. Forgive someone for leaving the toilet seat up. There's no match. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Be patient as the Lord is patient with you. So breathe. Stop. Think and actively remember what God has done for you. And in time, that gratitude for His patience will bear fruit in your life as patience too. And as we finish, you know, as you learn to look to the glory to come, remember that God might not remove your present circumstances or those people from your life. You might have to endure suffering all your life, and you'll have to be patient with it. You might endure and struggle with financial stress all your life, and you're going to have to be patient. You can't just bounce around from church to church. You can't just leave your family as if they're gone. You know, your family is your family. Even if you go to the other side of the world, you still know that they're your family. It's a difficult thing, family. You might be married to this person all your life. You'll definitely have to struggle with yourself and your own personality all your life. The best expression of patience is found in Romans 8, verse 23. And with this I finish. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship and the redemption of our bodies. He says, Paul says, simultaneously, we groan inwardly. Oh, this is not the way it should be. Oh, this is causing me stress. Oh, this hurts. And we wait eagerly. That's the balance of godly patience. Where you rightly groan, you feel it. And yet you eagerly wait with expectation on the day where all things will be made right and all things will be as they should be. And we eagerly wait, being as if on your toes, that eager waiting on God. That helps you. Being on those toes helps you maintain your balance. The balance of godly patience when you're under the present stresses and the pressures of life. But through it all, God teaches us and grows us to bear with it, to be more patient, to trust in His timing, and to draw strength from His patience with us. Amen.